chapter 10 and verse 4. I'll use this one. If it's gonna, I'm gonna punish you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." I want to talk about the gifts and look at them in a different light as weapons. The gifts in the Old Testament are the same gifts of the Spirit found in the New Testament. There are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit found in Corinthians. All 9, perhaps with the exception of speaking in tongues, is found in the Old Testament. And they were used. I really don't know if I have a title for this, but I want to just say the rules have never changed. The terms have never changed, and God has neither changed either. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to talk about, to begin with, the devil has his weapons. The devil has his tools that are supernatural in nature. And there is no doubt of the supernatural power behind them. Demon possession isn't something that just happened when Jesus came on the scene. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and one of them is demon possession or oppression. Some call it demonized. But Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. The ultimate goal, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. We know that everybody's lost, and everyone needs to be saved and born again. And I want to just take a brief study for a moment that I believe should be sufficient enough to establish a truth about the power of the devil. In the Old Testament, you only have about 6 places where the devil is mentioned, and we get an understanding of his power. The first time we read of Satan is in Genesis. And what the devil did then, he has successfully done today. I want to talk about the greatest deception, in my opinion, the devil has been pretty successful to pull off. And his Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. Well, one thing that he did in the book of Genesis, as you will recall, he came to Eve and Adam in the garden, or especially Eve, and he twisted God's word and gave it a different meaning than it was intended to have. And he has twisted the word of God today, and in America, he has succeeded in at least 80% of our churches. They have bought into this lie that I'm going to show you this morning. I'm not saying you've bought into it, but generally speaking, in your Christian churches, this lie has been propagated, and he has successfully accomplished what he did when he deceived Eve in the garden. We'll deal with that deception in a little bit. The next time we read of the devil appearing, and these are not chronological in order, is the devil appearing in the Old Testament when Moses is raised up to deliver God's children. We know that God told Moses to throw his rod on the ground and it became a snake. And eventually, the story, Moses goes before Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." the confession movement believed that you could just speak things and it happened. I had a minister friend that walked into a Cadillac dealership, and the guy who really believed that said, "All right, the Lord says, let my Cadillac go. I want you to give it to me." But it didn't work. But the devil went and had a weapon also. When Moses threw his rod on the ground, remember, it became a snake. And so Pharaoh had his magicians who were dealing in demonic activities, and they threw something, a stick on the ground, and it became a snake. Don't forget, that's pretty powerful stuff. And of course, we teach that Moses' snake ate up the snake of what the magicians or the demonic activity accomplished. I'm here to say this morning that the devil has not turned in his weapons. He still goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We must not underestimate the superpowers of the devil. In Isaiah chapter 14, we have a little bit of a description of the nature and the beginning of Satan, when he thought he would rise up and take on the authority of God and be greater or equal with God, and God kicked him out of heaven. And hell was created for the devil and his angels. And ever since then, Satan has been going to, as Jesus said, "The devil cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly." Let me deal with another story briefly in the Old Testament of Satan and his power, because I want us to get an understanding of Satan's power, that it is real and it is powerful. And we in ourselves are no match for it. We do need the help from the Lord to be able to combat the ways of the devil. This other time is the story of Daniel, who was given a vision. He didn't understand the meaning of the vision, so he began to seek the Lord as to what does that mean. We read in Daniel that Michael the archangel shows up and says, "I'm here to give you understanding." But Daniel, when you first set your heart to seek the Lord, "I was dispatched to come to you, but up in the heavens." Now remember, the Bible says in Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers in darkness. And there is demonic activity going on everywhere. May we always remember that. And so he says to Daniel, "I was dispatched, but there was a war, a battle." Now it's hard enough to, we see through a glass darkly to understand some of the things of God, and it's even hard to understand the kingdom of Satan, but it is real, and may we be aware of it. In fact, the other story that we're told, and they're few, but they're real, is the time when the sons of God gathered, and there was a God, and Satan shows up. And God said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him. He's the most righteous," etc., etc. And he said, "Yeah, but you have a hedge around him. If you'll remove the hedge, let me show you my weaponry." So he allowed him. He took down the wall of protection. And we know the story of how the devil does what we are told. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, you're going to hear quite often that, yes, but there's a hedge around us. That'd be true. But let me tell you something. When you get into sin and continued sin, you give the devil legal access to come and to destroy you again. So always know that yes, I believe we're protected, but don't let a false theology think that you can just do whatever you will, because when you sin, the devil has legal access to do havoc in your life. And that is just a truth. So I want us to see that there is the devil. One other story about the devil, and they're few, but they're real, is when King Saul, who had been king and the first king, when he became disobedient to God, and God was no longer talking to Saul. And Saul, wanting to hear from the Lord, he knew what he was about to do was forbidden. He went to the witch of Endor. And the witch of Endor, Israel at that time, God had it in his word that witches were not to be able to do their thing and they were to be done away with. But Saul goes to the witch of Endor, and the way that God often talked to Samuel, or excuse me, Saul, was Samuel the prophet. And so he goes to this witch and says, I want you to bring up Samuel. Now, my pastor believed that that was not Samuel, that that was a familiar spirit. I personally disagree. I believe it was Samuel on the basis that the devil does not know the future. He's not all-knowing. He's not omniscient. And he successfully predicted the death of Saul the next day. And so I do that on that basis. I could be wrong. I seldom am. But that could be the case. But I only say that to show you the power of the devil. And yes, if it wasn't, then he does have the ability to do things. Now, one of the things that we are told will happen in the last days is deception. Let me tell you the greatest deception in my mind that has happened to the church. And that is that when Jesus ascended and went up on high, that now there are no more gifts of the Spirit in operation. It is 85% of the church world out there teaches that the gifts of the Spirit are not for today. That some will think maybe miracles are okay and God answers prayer, but theologically, they do not believe that the gifts of the Spirit are for today. We believe they are. And it is a lie that he has propagated, and therefore, because they are taught they are not for today, people don't seek them. You don't seek for something if you don't believe it's there. You only seek for that which you are convinced is there. And so because of that, about 80% of your fundamental Christianity, evangelicals, do not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, of speaking in tongues, and the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, were in the Old Testament and are also in the New. They get that from a couple of places, which I'm not going to take all the time to explain, but one of them is in Corinthians when he speaks of them, and it has one little phrase that says, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Well, that is describing that when Jesus comes, that which is perfect. But they, in order to change the word to fit them rather than you change yourself to fit the word. How many know when Jesus came, he didn't come for us to change him. He came to change us. And he's the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And therefore, there are people that if they don't line up with the word, then they're going to change the word to fit them rather than them to fit the word. And therefore, because I do believe that the gifts of the Spirit are for today, and because they don't experience them themselves, then some of them, perhaps they're deceived, have changed the word and have allowed the enemy to change the word as he did in the garden. He is the same yesterday and forever, the devil. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so they say, whether there be tongues, I shall cease. See right there. But if you do a good Bible study, you'll see that wisdom hasn't ceased. And other things that he mentioned hasn't ceased. And one other place that I like to go to is found in Hebrews, the first chapter. It says, in times past, God spake to us in different ways, referring to the miraculous. But now in these days has spoken to us by his Son. And so they equate that God don't talk to us like he used to. He now talks to us by Jesus Christ or by the word. If you don't hear from here or Jesus, which is the word, that's it. Now, it's true. I do believe that God can speak to us through this. And I do believe that God can speak to us through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But it is not to be interpreted that those ways that he did it are no longer to be used to speak and for God to use us. Can I hear an amen? I want you to know that when, if we'll just for a moment think about it, the devil, if you think about that, it's about as dumb as dumb. What they're saying is when Jesus left, he pulled back our tools. Let me just say this. The gifts of the Spirit in the Old Testament are also in the New. You find the gift of healing in the Old Testament. You find where Naaman, who had leprosy, he was healed of his leprosy. That was the gift of healing that took place, that Elisha was used in the gifts of the Spirit. Elisha, as Terry mentioned this morning, and thank the Lord how it had a way of connecting, is, Lord, open my eyes. Well, Elisha also prayed in the Old Testament when one of his servants was scared when he saw all the soldiers, and he said, Lord, open his eyes. So we have the miracles in the Old Testament. You know what miracles do and these gifts do? They give you the victory, but it also creates faith. It always creates faith to the open heart. Because in the Old Testament, you know how Rahab the harlot came to have faith in the Lord? It was a miracle, one of the gifts of the Spirit. It was how many know it was a miracle when the Red Sea opened up and then collapsed upon them? That was a gift of a miracle. And Moses was used in the gift of being working miracles. You find healing, you find the word of knowledge, you find the word of wisdom. Solomon was given wisdom. That was a gift of the Holy Ghost that he had and he operated in and wrote all the Proverbs. So to say, which is taught out there, that when Jesus left, he doesn't work anymore like he used to. Huh. Do you think the devil gave up his weapons? No way. The devil's still using his weapons. And here, you know what we're doing? We're showing up at a gunfight with a water pistol. That's what's happening with a lot of people in their understanding, because they're not aware of the gifts they're taught. They're not for today, not you, but I'm talking about overall. I mentioned that the purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they help create faith. They give the victory at the time, but it also creates faith. Rahab the harlot, when the spies came, the reason she believed and wanted favor with them is, I have heard about the miracle. And it caused her to have faith. In the same way that when Jesus was at the well and he spoke to the woman at the well and he had a word of knowledge. And that word of knowledge told her things that she knew there's no way this guy could have known. And it eventually created faith whereby she left and became a great wanting to win souls herself when she said, come see a man that told me everything about me. What did that? It was the gift of the Spirit that created the faith. And do you know the first 18 years of my life, I did not know there was a Holy Ghost. I went to church once in a while. I knew there was Jesus, but I was not at all had any understanding there was a Holy Ghost and that the Holy Ghost gives 9 gifts. And so one time I'm at church at this where I'd come to the Lord, and I let me just say, I thank the Lord they're preaching Jesus. So don't think that I'm opposed to them preaching Jesus. Praise the Lord, they're preaching Jesus. Paul said some preach Christ with the right motive, some with the wrong motive, but at least let them get the gospel out. But how much more could be accomplished and advance into the kingdom of darkness if we had the right weapons? You see, these gifts, as I mentioned earlier, let me try to not spin the word and change it, but they are also weapons. They are weapons, and we often don't look at them as weapons, but they definitely are weapons. When it says, put on the whole armor of God, and then he says that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil, when he said, take the shield of faith, you know what? That could be the gift of faith coming from the Holy Spirit. He's acknowledging it. I'm not saying it couldn't be the word quickened to you to give you faith also. When it said, take the two-edged sword, that is the word of God. The word of God is not just limited to this. My brother, when God spoke to you, that was a word from the Lord. That is a word of knowledge, but it is a weapon. And we sometimes don't look at them as weapons, but what I'm trying to say is, folks, we are in a battle. And you know who always wins the battle? It's not who has the most people, it's who has the greatest weapons. It's always been that way. It was World War II that Truman and Churchill over in England and Stalin met. The war was still raging in World War II. Stalin, when he was introduced to Truman, he was little in stature, but don't underestimate us. And he wasn't that impressed with Truman. And he thought, Truman, he's going to be a pushover. And so he went home. What he did not know is Truman had a weapon. That weapon was the atomic bomb. Truman didn't tell him he had the weapon. And he wasn't impressed with his physical or anything else, thought he was a pushover, but he found out he wasn't a pushover. You know why he wasn't a pushover? Because he had the greatest weapon on the planet. And when they released that bomb twice, it ended up winning World War II. How many remember that? It was the weapon that was greater than anyone else. It's no wonder why our president is wanting our military to have the finest weaponry. And it gives strength, and it keeps others from wanting to attack you. But it's not how many soldiers, not saying that's not important, but who has the greatest weapons. And the devil has his weapons, and we have our weapons. Or wait a minute, we don't. They're gone. And therefore, because many people are being taught that those weapons, which we call gifts, but I want you to know they're also weapons. When David came against Goliath, you know why David beat Goliath? If in the natural you were to let him fight, Goliath would have beaten the pudding out of David. But it's because David had a better weapon than Goliath had. Goliath had a big sword, but David had a slingshot anointed by God that was a greater weapon. And it's always whoever shows up at the fight that has the best weapon that ends up winning. And yes, our weapons are greater than Satan's weapons, but if you don't got no weapons at all, you're not going to advance and move into the kingdom of darkness as much as God intended you to do. Does that make sense? And so we are in a battle, people. And a war is raging, spiritually speaking. And I thank God for the victory that many are having. But, Terry, the reason you got victory, those were weapons that God gave you, opened your eyes, and gifts of the Spirit. I was visiting my daughter, as you know, in Arizona. And I don't mean this for bragging rights, but I'm not going to hide it either, because I'm trying to make a point. For 46 years, or 47, I have had a prayer life from 12 to 2 in the morning. I haven't always been successful at it. Sometimes I forget I'm dead. But I do try. And sometimes I don't make the 2 hours, but I give it a shot. My girls grew up knowing that Daddy prayed, and that's when he prayed. And sometimes I can really get with it, and sometimes I'm, oh, Lord, help me pray. Oh, Lord, help me pray. But I'm there praying. I'm at my daughter's house, and because I have my prayer time, often if I'm going to pray at night, I have to take a little nap in the day. or I won't be alert in my prayer time. So I'm taking a nap, and what I did not know is my grandson, Brocky, wanted to play with Grandpa, and Brocky wanted to come downstairs, but they said, "Grandpa's sleeping. Don't you wake him." So Brocky came down, and he's sitting outside the room with the door shut. He waited 9 hours. No, he waited about 30 minutes. We're not known for my waiting. Prophet's not without honor. If you see that fault, no, I'm not even saying a prophet, but Brocky, and I woke up and I come out and there's Brocky sitting quietly, reverently. And he said, "Oh, Grandpa, can we play?" "Sure." He had been waiting quite a while. That broke my heart. Can I tell you why he was waiting? Because he knew there was a grandpa on the other side of the door. That's why. Grandpa's there. Can I tell you why I pray? Because I know on the other side of the door is a God that says, "Seek me. And if you'll seek me with all your heart, I will hear you." And the Bible says, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven." And you know why I pray? And sometimes I pray and I weep and I pour my heart out to God, because I know on the other side of the door and above what I cannot see, there is a God that wants to equip me, and he beckons me and says, "Call upon me and see that I will not answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." And Jesus says, "Knock. Don't stop knocking, because the door will be opened." And so, people, what I'm telling you is something you already know, but I want to encourage you that we might see more of God, and that is by praying and by seeking the Lord. And the Holy Spirit gives severely to we will, but it says our part is to covet earnestly the best gifts. But you won't covet something if you don't believe it exists. And so much of the world out there that has known the Lord, and I thank God for that. Oh, God is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He left a book of Acts, and that's the church he's looking for when he comes back, that in him we live and move and have our being. And oh God, I'm calling us to prayer. You say, "Well, God, all these years I've been living for God, and I haven't had those." Yeah, but let me tell you this. Hannah, in the Old Testament, was barren and couldn't have a baby. And she hurt by not having a baby. And she went to the temple. And there before God, Hannah, knowing somebody's on the other side of the door, began to weep. And Hannah began to cry out to the Lord to such a degree that the backslidden prophet had enough God in him later to prophesy correctly. But at first he thought she was drunk. And he went up and he said, "Well, you shouldn't be drinking." She said, "I'm not a daughter of Belial or the devil." She said, "I need a child." You see, God had shut her womb. And God shut her womb for that very purpose, to make her cry. And when she cried, knowing there's somebody on their side, "God, give me a child. If you'll give me a child, God, I'll give him to you. If you'll give me a child, I'll dedicate that one to you." And God gave her that child, and that child was Samuel. And what I'm saying is, there are all kinds of gifts, and God will use you, if nothing else, to pray in a preacher. If nothing else, to pray in another Samuel. If nothing else, to give you the gifts yourself, which I believe he will. He gives them severely as he will. But folks, there's a battle. And we don't win without the weapons. Can you see the devil saying, "You know what? I got to play fair. Lord, if you're going to give up your weapons, then I'm going to give up mine." How dumb. How dumb to believe that he would do that. He didn't. And neither did Jesus pull back the gifts. And the gifts always create faith. Always create faith. I've shared with you dozens and dozens of stories of words that God will give me detail on somebody, and it ends up causing faith that brings them to Christ. It may take time, but it is for that purpose. We're in a war. How many ever watch, and I'm going to wrap this up, Wicked Tuna? Oh boy, you're going to think your pastor's so worldly. Wicked Tuna is on National Geographic, and it's about these commercial fishermen that go out of Florida and they fish for tuna, yellowtail tuna. And some of them, they're worth anywhere from $2,000 up to $12,000. Let's go fishing. And you'll notice they have three poles on the back of the boat. And then they have radar. And the radar is this thing that goes out and it can tell you when one of the big fish, tuna, is in the vicinity where they're fishing. It'll go beep, 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 beep. And if you're watching it, you'll hear that beep, beep. And you know, okay, a tuna's getting ready to bite. And sure enough, whammo! And one of the poles will hit. And sometimes, whammo, two of them. And rarely, but it does happen, whammo, whammo, whammo. Bingo, bango, bongo was what the Portland Trailblazer announcer said. They'll get three fish on at the same time. Could you imagine going up to the skipper and saying, you know, I don't think it's fair. You should just use one pole. Forget you. I have a better chance catching three with three poles than one. And if they had room, they'd probably put nine out unless there was some law against it. Folks, we need every gift we have. He said, behold, I'll make you to follow me and I'll make you fishermen of men. Cast your nets out. Use the gifts. Seek him. And he will give you the gifts just like Terry. But in proportion to our prayer and knowing they're real and he's on the other side, he will answer. And I pray for a church with the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Why? Because they're real. And they bring people to Christ. And it's pretty hard fishing without the weapons. It's pretty hard fishing. When Skip Kincaid comes, you know what he's going to do? He's going to do what he's done the last 11 years. He's going to tell you somebody prayed for and God healed. And it brought somebody to Christ, brought the family to Christ. The gift of healing. The gifts are real. And we need them. But we've got to pray, folks. We've got to pray. You think, well, it's just sovereignly. No. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Let's stand. Debbie, would you come, please? The one who wins the battle is the one that shows up with the best weapons. And much of the church, unfortunately, is not advancing the kingdom because they're showing up at a gunfight with a squirt gun. We have no idea of how the devil is working. He is. Much of the battles, he didn't surrender his weapons. And the devil would love to cheat us out of these weapons. But when I got the Holy Ghost, my world was rocked and it was turned upside down. And I've been experiencing these things for 46 years. And I say, giving God all the glory, people have come to Christ. 80% of them have been because of the weapon that God gave at the moment. Whether it be walking into the store and say, ask the man if he has a telescope for sale. And it led to the conversion. Whether it be giving me the name of, but they always are for the purpose, not to get the big head, but to advance the kingdom. Oh God, help us. Help us to pray. You want greater victory? Pray. 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 If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What's that strength? How's it going to come? Faith, weapons. Could we all come forward this morning, please? You don't have to join hands. If you want to, that's up to you. Some just want to pray. But oh God, it is my desire to see God move. That's your desire too, isn't it? Let's pray, people. Let's pray. I don't mean just a little quick prayer like Nehemiah had when the king asked him something and he gave a quick prayer. I believe in quick prayers, but the quick prayers only work when they're on the foundation of Nehemiah sought God for some time before he went to the king asking permission to go rebuild Jerusalem. No wonder the disciples, even after the Holy Spirit fell, Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. They knew somebody was on the other side of that wall. Heavenly Father, every one of us here, I pray we seek you. And yes, as we seek you, as it was ministered, the devil will fight. But oh Lord, let us knock and keep on knocking, because there is a God that answers prayer and that will give us the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. If there's a victory to be won, it happens by prayer, but the prayer brings the weapon. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's just begin to look to the Lord and cry out. Would you open your lips and begin to cry out to the Lord? Let's open our hearts up to God and join in unison. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. We believe you. We believe your word. And oh, God, as what we heard this morning, may, Lord, we shake ourselves. Samson, anointed by God, was no match, or the enemy could not overcome him. But when the Spirit of God left him, he had no victory. Oh God, let our hair grow back. Let our dedication grow back. Let our waiting on you grow back. And anoint us again. Anoint us again. Do it again, God. Do it again. Every day, Lord Jesus. Lord, every day we need victory. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we lift our voice to you. We need grandmas praying in Samuel's. We need people praying, Lord, that the power of God might come. For it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, God, we got to have weapons. We got to have weapons. We're in a fight, and we don't win in our natural strength. Oh God, give us all the weapons, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to ask you to go ahead and find a place to pray. No wonder he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Why? Because there is a grandpa on the other side. There is a father that even Jesus said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the Spirit. Oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you.
Be afraid of whoever you are. The Lord gives you the interpretation. Go ahead, don't quench it.
I give my people, I speak unto you that all around you things are falling apart. Everything that you seem to set your hand to is not working. There's failure everywhere. It's as if the whole world is nothing but darkness. And every time you take a step, you stumble. And every time you try a deed, it doesn't work. But I'm going to speak to you now that I am your God.
Yes.
And you can look behind that door and find me every time. And as you open that door and find me, I will bring light.
Yes.
And I will bring strength. And I will bring ability,
yes.
And I will get you out of that darkness,
yes.
And I will be your light. You need to look for nothing else but only your God, because I love you.
Remember that.